But what happens if you don't put this into practice? Like, we can learn all this stuff and then we can leave here. What is your ministry going to look like? Are you going to be frazzled and just like, ah, I don't know what to do? Or is it going to thrive, you know? Or if you keep going along the ways that you're going, is it going to fizzle? Like, is it going to hit some, you know, hard times? So what's going to happen if you don't put into practice what we talk about today? So for me, a mission and vision is huge, and that's where I want to start. That's really important. And you need to understand that you probably need a change, and I suspect that's why you're here. You know, something needs to be different. So I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was way back, probably over 18 years ago, started in preschool ministry, we had this recruitment Sunday. This is great. I'm new to the position. I want to get to know my volunteers. I had about 100 volunteers that time. I didn't know everybody. So I thought, this is a great way for me to connect with them. So I decided to make them all chocolates, like homemade chocolates. I made one for everybody and extras. And so my goal was to hand out chocolates to everybody who was currently serving and give them their, like, schedule so I could put a name to a face and talk to them. And then also for anybody who signed up, then I'd give them chocolates. But it gave me two things. One, I got to encourage my current volunteers and speak into that culture and to make some change. And then number two, I was hoping that other people would be like, oh, that maybe would be a great area to serve, because if nothing else, I get chocolate, right? So I just thought, maybe that would entice them. I don't know how well it worked, but I knew something needed to change. I didn't fully understand the mission and the vision of our church and how that worked in a nursery at that time, because it was just a place where we were putting in time. We didn't even consider it a ministry. So doing that, like, I know something needs to change. I'm not quite sure what. I don't know what this looks like. So that was one of my first steps to make things be different. So through that and through much training over the years, I've been able to work on these things. So four practical steps for you to help you recruit is the first one is to understand your mission and your vision. And that's so important. So we're going to go over that. Then you're going to talk about it with everybody. Okay? Then we're going to clearly define what it is you want your volunteer to do. And then listen and invite. So, and if you don't get these all down now, I'll bring it back up later so that you can catch them. So the first is to understand your mission and vision. So this is just not just understanding it so that you can read it, but understand it so that you understand how it breaks down and how it can apply in person. So currently I'm working with a group. With a church, and I looked at their mission and their vision and what they want to do. And so they have this vision to see lives transformed by Christ, and then they do this by going deep in Christ, live out authentic faith, and make disciples, which is really good. That sounds amazing. I love it. And probably many of us have a very similar mission or vision statement, right? But what does that look like when you say that, and then you're going to talk to a volunteer about how does that apply to their role, right? This happened to be nursery. So I wrote down that this happens by, through weekly serving, you have a better opportunity to go deep in Christ, right? So that was one of the words. With kids that you're leading, developing relationships with both the kids and family gives you an opportunity to speak into their lives and help them understand who Jesus is, what he came to earth to accomplish, and how it affects our lives today. Serving weekly allows you to live out authentic faith. So that's another key statement of theirs. By developing relationships, you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Throughout our time together serving, you'll make disciples. As you pour into your group, you'll be modeling how to live out your faith and in turn training up the next generation to do the same. So that gave them a language to be able to speak, like, this is their mission and vision. Now I'm speaking specific to this volunteer of why their role is important, right? And inviting them into the whole mission and vision of their church, right? So they can feel like, oh, I'm not just babysitting, right? Like, this is important. This is about the mission and the vision. So once you take your mission and vision and make it so that you can, you know, we can work it so that, how does that apply practically? Then we're going to talk about it with everybody, all right? This is really important because often we just talk about it with, like, just a few, right? So the goal is to be able to understand it so well that you can talk about it in your everyday speech. It should be part of your natural language. You should be able to talk about it with those that you're interacting. And so you need to communicate with others. sometimes we just, without realizing it, we only talk about it, the mission, the vision with our, like, the staff or the church leaders. Yeah. And then we forget that we need to communicate with everybody. So it's really important that we become experts at casting our vision and our mission, right? So, and especially, let's talk about vision for a second. It's important. So if you understand your mission, now what's the vision? Like, how are we going to get there? And vision's important because it helps people to see what your ministry could look like one day, right? Vision paints a word picture that shows how someone's world will be better because of what you're doing together. And vision, it gives people hope that the future can be better than the present, and they get to be a part of that. Right? We're inviting them into this with us. So this is from, I recommend the book, and I wrote it on your sheet, Leading Not Normal Volunteers by Sue Miller and Adam Duckworth. And it is in the resource table. I noticed it's there. And I left my copy at home. It was a bit of a crazy day yesterday. Mine is all filled with notes and stuff. And it was a great book to go through and make notes and write down people that you need to pour into or steps to take. But it's a great one. So back to vision. Vision stirs people. So we want to make vision easy. Easy to understand. What compelling problem are you trying to solve? Right? Easy to activate. What can one person do to help solve that problem? Right? People want to know what they're going to be part of and how they can help. And easy to communicate. What is going to be better in the future if you can accomplish this mission and this vision? And however you communicate this, you need to know that your words matter, okay? Regardless of how you recruit, your words make a huge difference. If you're not excited about what's happening in your church and what the possibilities are, then people aren't going to be excited. They're not going to realize the importance of this mission, right? We should be so on fire for God that it just, like, pours out on all of those around us. So now that you've got some words and you clarify what you're going to say, we're going to clearly define what we want our volunteers to do. This is really important because often we're just telling volunteers to go in here, but we don't get them clear direction. So they're not really sure, how do I win in this role? Well, I took that church that I'm working with, their role description for preschool, for nursery, I think it was. And I just poured over. It was good, right? It was just a lot of words. And it kind of, like, just said that essentially they were babysitting and that we don't want to call people to babysitting. Nobody wants to do that. That's not really, you don't feel like you're serving God. So we want to make sure that they understand how they are serving God. So I wrote this. How does this happen in real life? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to share the love of Jesus with the youngest members of our church. Not only that, but you have the opportunity to speak into the lives of the parents and walk with them through this phase that they're in, right? That's so much better than babysitting. That I want to do. I don't want to sit in the room just babysit. I want to partner with the parents. I want to walk them through this phase. I want to, maybe I'm the only one to pray over this baby, right? So this is part of the mission, the vision of the church, and how someone, a volunteer, can live it out in that area. And then the volunteer needs to know, like, if you're handing this out, what we will provide. We're going to provide the room, toys, snack, music, crafts, and training for you. That's important, an ongoing training process to keep that mission and the vision burning as they understand the importance of what they're doing, their job. And I mean, when you do training, you can go into way more detail, but when you're just handing this out and you're recruiting, quickly they need to know that we expect them and their job is to go through the training that you provide, okay? Commit to a specific time period for serving, weekly, biweekly, or once a month. And so that depends on the role, right? If you're greeting, maybe once a month is great. If you're leading a small group, maybe that's weekly. If you are serving maybe in the nursery or preschool, maybe once or twice a month is great. Or if you're a helper every other week. But if you're leading a small group and you're pouring into specific kids, maybe every week is a good thing. So you can really influence them. And then come for prayer act. I think this is really important that we spend time to pray before we get started serving God, right? Because so many things happen on a Sunday morning, don't they? Right? So many things go wrong. Be in the room and ready to greet and play by. And this just gives them, so we're having prayer, and then you have a little bit of time to what? Get coffee, go to the bathroom, do whatever you need to do. But I expect you to be in this room by this time. And lay out that expectation. People need to know that. And then have fun, right? This is exciting. You get to play with kids, or you're sharing about Jesus. You're praying over the kids. There's so many things that can happen. And then the time commitments are good for people to know before they get into the role. So serve weekly from September to June for this specific position, or it could be, you know, for the year, whatever. But give people an out, right? There's a start date, there's an end date, then we're going to talk about it. Prepare by praying for the little ones and their families. And I think praying before you start any ministry, before you volunteer, whoever you're interacting with, that is so important. It's so key. We just can't do this without prayer, right? I know I can't. So I've seen prayer do amazing things. So you need to make sure that we call our volunteers to pray, right? Over the smallest people in our church, the little babies, over the parents, over the seniors, over everybody. And then to be in the room from the time you expect them to be in to the time that they can leave, just so that they're not ducking out early, right? Like, you're, where'd the volunteer go? They're gone. So you need to give them clear expectations of when you want them to be there and when you want them to leave. And then also you want this part, is at the bottom of theirs. That sounds fun, but how do I know that I'm qualified? Well, the good news is that we're happy to train you for the role you were meant to fill. So if you're 14 or older, love children, and are willing to learn, we would be happy to chat about your role in children's ministry. This is important because it gives you an out and it gives them an out, okay? Maybe the role is not right, and that's okay. Maybe there's a better suited role, but it gives you an opportunity to know that we're going to have a chat now. Let's see if this fits, and we're going to chat, you know, maybe in 3 weeks and just see, is this the right fit for you? Maybe we can find something better. And also for them, maybe they get in there. I one time was asked to help out with Cubbies. And so I went in there and I was like, nope, nope, definitely this is not the right place for me at this time, right? So you need to be able to have those conversations and have a place for them. So create that space that you can talk about, is this a good fit or is it not? So this may seem really simple, but that's what we want, right? We want simple role descriptions because we don't want our potential volunteers to get bogged down by all those details. Right? That's just too much, and it's overwhelming. Training, you have lots of time to train and share resources over time, and that will make sure that you cover all those like details, right? The safe church, there's so many other details, but right now we are just recruiting them. We want them to get an understanding of what we want them to do. So next, we want to listen and invite. Too often, we fly by someone and throw it with, right? Have you seen this? Hey, can you serve right here, right now? I just need you to go into this room and do this, right? We do that. And we don't even listen to their response. They might be like, no, 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 I can't, right? We don't. We just grab them, we pull them in the room. And that's not good. So our job is to invite them into an opportunity to serve, right? They're going to live out the mission and the vision. They get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so let's talk about this for a minute. The fill in here forever versus inviting them to join you, okay? So, right, too often we'll grab someone like, can you come in here? We throw them in a room, and then we never check on them, and we leave them, and they come, but are they happy? Like, are they excited? Do they know that they're affecting the kingdom? Probably not, right? And so eventually they're going to fizzle out and leave, but we want to recruit people. We want to invite them to join us as an opportunity to use out the gifts that God has given them, right? So God's equipped them, he's given them unique skills, and we want to invite them to use those and to serve in the church. And so we want them to understand the importance. So instead of, you know, just fill in, we want to think about these roles that need to be, you know, not just putting time in, but that they're important for the growth of the body of Christ, okay? So we need to invite people into the mission and the vision because we are not just asking them to fill in a spot. We are, in fact, equipping them to serve because it will help them grow in their faith and give action to what they believe, okay? It's very strategic, and it takes time, and it takes relationships. So your job is to connect with the volunteers and then provide an opportunity for them to serve and use the gifts that God has given them. This is really, really key. And it's amazing when we can do this, right? So when you ask them and you share with them about this amazing ministry opportunity, take the time to listen to their response. What season are they in right now? What do they love to do? And what talents has God given them? And then invite them into the opportunity to serve and to partner with you to use their gifts and talents that God has called and asked them to do. So recently I was chatting with a young man, and he's in a season of transition. So he's serving on production, which is great. I said, okay, if you could do anything in the church, no limit, what would you do? He's like, oh, it's fine. I'll just do production. I'm like, no. Like, if you could really just serve where your heart wants to be, what would it be? And he's like, I love middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, someone who loves middle schoolers, that's a hard age, right? This is exciting. And I get that he's in a season of transition, but that conversation allows us to now, I talk to the youth pastor and say, hey, he eventually wants to be a middle school servant. How can we make him the best middle school small group leader we've ever had, right? We can start pouring into him now for that future role. And so we need to take the time to have those conversations with people who are already serving or who are looking to serve and find out, where can God use them? What's their heart? What does God equip them for? So as we have these conversations, right, we're going to build a list of names. And here's some key places that you can get names. Talk to key families, people who are showing up all the time serving, right? Talk to them and see who they would recommend or who they know, or maybe one of their children are ready now to serve. And build a list of names from that. Then talk to your key leaders in other ministries. Remember, we're not silos, right? Maybe another ministry leader knows somebody is not thriving in their area and they would be better somewhere else, right? So have those conversations and find out, how can we best utilize the people? Where should they fit? Then talk to those who are already serving. So I talked to this guy. He is serving. Looks like he's serving every week. He's showing up, but really he's not where he should be. And so have those conversations with those who are already serving and make sure they're in the right space and at the right time. And students, oh my goodness, I love pouring into students because it's so exciting to see how God's going to use them. Look at your middle schoolers. Look at your high school students and your college students. Where are they at? Who's done camp? Who loves kids? Who loves reading, right? Or drama or sports? And see how we can use those gifts so that at that young age, you know, grade 6, we can start pouring into them and develop these key influential people long before we need them, right? And so they know that they're important to the body of Christ because they're serving and their skills are valuable. So we want to build that in young. So here's a few guidelines for how to invite. Make sure you remember when you are recruiting or inviting that every role is significant, okay? It doesn't matter if they are changing diapers or greeting. Every role is significant. It's critically important in order to achieve the mission. Remember, we're all a mission for God, and we need to keep that in our mindset. Make sure that every role is clear. Every volunteer needs to know how to win in their roles, right? That's going to get them excited. If they know that they can win doing this, they're making a difference for the kingdom of God, that's awesome. Focused. Volunteers serve doing something that they enjoy, right? They're not going to be super excited if they don't enjoy it. So make sure that it's a role that they enjoy. And then be excited and be passionate. This is huge because you need to be excited about what you're asking them to do, because if you're just like, hey, I saw that like you could serve and it kind of ties in with the mission, that's not exciting. Nobody wants to do that. Be excited, go up to them and say, hey, I really think your skills and talents could be utilized in here. Could we have a conversation about what that looks like? I've got a little role description I want to sit down and talk to you, right? And just have a conversation and listen to them. And so be passionate. It's okay, right? When you are excited about an event and you tell somebody about it, then they kind of get excited, right? Think about a favorite place that you've been and you want to bring others to. So this should be church. This should be serving God. We should be excited. Here are a few ways I recommend inviting. The first one is asking in person. I know we have so much technology and there's so many other things that we can do, but asking in person over a cup of coffee or a meal or wings, whatever it might be, or just sitting down to talk is the best way, so you can listen to their response and hear what their heart is, right, and where they are in their relationship with God. Focused emails. Oh man, not just a blanket email. Let's send out emails that have, you know, good focus to a specific group about a specific thing, right? And let's be intentional when we send those and how we use our words. Social media posts and stories. So I have a company and I do a lot of content creation and social media. And you really have maybe 7 seconds when you are sharing something. So it's very important to do all this pre-work, clearly define what you're looking for, understand your mission and vision so you can speak about it naturally. Because when you get to social media and you want to post, you have those 7 seconds, it's got to be very clear. and give a specific call to action. So be clear when you use social media, and just be aware of that. You only have a short window on a reel. So I've created, there's a checklist. Think you're ready to recruit. Let's take a few moments and check and make sure you understand the mission and the vision of where you want them to serve. You can naturally talk about it with everyone, right? This should be a conversation you can have, not just with staff, but with everybody you interact with. You can clearly define roles that need to be filled. You are ready to have a conversation and listen to their responses, right? We're not just grabbing and throwing them in the room anymore. So here are some next steps for you. Practice your mission and vision over and over and over until you can communicate it clearly and concisely and you're excited about it. Start talking about it with everybody who you meet in the foyer on Sunday, running into the bathroom or during the week, whatever it might be, even families just visiting. It should just be coming out. Develop your list of people to ask, right? You know, hopefully we walk away with a few names that you can think of, like, oh, I should talk to at least this ministry leader, see who they've got, talk to this person. Grab coffee with somebody. I say coffee because that's my go-to, right? I'll grab coffee. But, you know, our children's pastor, he would take my son out for wings, right? So, you know, grab something and meet with somebody and talk about it. Be excited and then plan for the future. And this is important because you're going to have roles that will need to be filled later. Maybe right now you're okay. So start planning ahead for the future. And a way to look at that is like a camp. So if you do a VBS or, you know, a day camp, you want to have LITs. You start pouring into the LITs because then they're your next leaders, and start pouring into more LITs so that you're constantly refeeding your volunteer area and your needs, right? So think about that in every circumstance, right? How can we pour in some other people who aren't ready yet, but they're going to be, and we're going to need that spot filled in a few years or next season or whatever it might be. So just to recap, your four tools to help create a successful volunteer recruitment plan: understand your mission and vision, be an expert at casting vision, clearly define volunteer roles, and listen and invite. So now, let's take some time to work on your plan and where you are. Can anyone want to share their mission and vision and maybe how they might share that, or maybe you want some help, and how would you communicate that clearly to, you know, someone that you're going to talk to that you'd like to volunteer? You know, step out there. Or a role that you're looking to fill. Go for it.
How do you make... So I'm on the Bloom steering team.
Okay.
And we need a mom to fill the social. So like the computer, Facebook, to update everybody.
Sure.
But we're in a group of moms who are actually taking a step back from social. So how can you make it kind of inviting?
Okay, so then who is the social reaching?
Right now,
those moms that are in there, they don't want to look at social, right?
Right.
So you're using social to reach potential moms?
So we're using social to like do updates.
Okay.
And, you know, like who's speaking. That's kind of what we want to use social for.
Yeah.
But right now we're just doing it, all of us, because there is no one specific person to do that.
Right. Okay. Is there anybody who is passionate about communicating what's happening or excited about what your group is doing?
We can, but the ones that are already on the team already have other jobs and we can't.
Okay.
It's kind of like we need another body.
Yeah.
But when we approach it, it's kind of like the mom's like, well, I don't want to get back into that again.
Mm-hmm. So maybe need somebody outside. So maybe you could go and you could put out to, like, if maybe a friend of a mom or someone outside of your group and just say, hey, we've got this amazing group, but we need other people to know, and we need someone who can step in and communicate for us what's happening in this group so that they can also come and grow, right, in your relationship with God. We're trying to pour into these moms and help them to see that vision and the mission of the group and the importance of it for their walk with God. And then we need to clearly communicate that and just kind of make a little role description and clearly define what you want them to do and how long that's going to take. A week, right? Maybe you're expecting them to fill an hour, or maybe it's going to be a couple of hours, but that might help even the moms in the group, like, oh, it's only an hour. Okay, maybe I could do that. Or maybe it's only 15 minutes. Then that might give them some clarity.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. anyone else? Goals or vision or a slide that you want me to go back to that you missed? Currently, the group that I'm working with, another church, I'm going to do a training event with them. So we're just working through kind of their roles, revamping those, making them simple so that when their volunteers come, we can clearly tell them what we're asking them to do. And we're going to ask for a bigger ask, right? Just to up their commitment. Not everybody, but for specific positions when you're dealing with kids and you're developing relationships with them, right? That maybe once a week would better work. To really build into them just for a season, yes.
So, I just recently took on the role of the helping hands for community meals and help for the community.
Okay.
People within the community, not just the church.
Yeah.
So, should the mission and vision reflect, like, does it have to be the same as what the church is? Or can I make it specific to that group, that area?
What is your church's mission?
Well, I think we're just working all that out.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. And it's out of the church, right?
Yes. Like everything that goes out. So they try to offer daycare if somebody needs it, groceries, a meal if somebody's sick, even just a card, we're thinking of you. Mm-hmm. They're not members of the church.
Okay.
Some of it, so they do a SLAM program Wednesday night, so it's like that's where we get a lot of the information. Mm-hmm. The parents aren't coming on Sunday, but the kids are coming Wednesday night.
Okay.
We're finding grandma's been sick or, you know, my mom's in the hospital, that kind of stuff. So that's where the meals go to and everything.
Okay, yeah.
So
I think once you identify your mission and vision for your church, then you can take that and modify, but take it, use that as a springboard. For that, and so that people know you're related to the church, this is coming from the church, and we're taking the church's mission now, and we're putting it into action. We want to pour love onto you, right? Like, we want to go deep in Christ, we want to share his love with the community, maybe that's part of your mission, and this is how we're going to do it practically. And then people, when they hear, they're like, oh, you're practically, okay, I'd like to do that, right?
Okay.
Makes sense.
Like, mimic it then.
Yeah. So mimic it, but make sure, like, yeah, this is how we are putting that into action by doing these meals, by reaching out to these families, by connecting with them. So,
perfect.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
What role does spiritual gift play in the placement of a volunteer?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd love for it to be more, right? Because in the past, we've just grabbed people and kind of put them in, but I really would love to see people understand what their spiritual gifts are and then how we can best use them in the church, right, to help them to use them. I think for too long, people are just serving, not in a place where God is necessarily designed for them to serve, but they're filling a need, but it would be so much more effective if they're serving and using the skills that God's given them, right? So I'd love for that to be part of the process if there's a way you can do that, depending on your church too, right, and how they view that. But I think it's cool if you're leading a ministry, you could take your own people through that, right? Assess their spiritual gifts and then like sit down and talk about it and decide, okay, is this the right fit for you, right? So I think that's huge. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm in frontline ministries at the church, working with ushers, welcome
ministers,
greeters, that kind of thing. And the verse that I chose when I started the program was welcome one another therefore as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God, Romans 15:7.
Yeah.
Is that a mission? Is that a vision?
If that's your mission of how you're, and then your vision of how you're going to implement that, right? So now we are going to meet, and before we start, we're going to pray about whoever's entering the door, and we're going to welcome them. And I think welcome is huge because you need to understand some people are showing up and they've had so many hurts and they've had such a hard work week and they've hardly even made it to church, but they did, right? So to be able to come and welcome them with open arms is a way that we can live out that verse, right? So does that help clarify that for you? Yeah.
Yeah, do you have any tips of how to show appreciation to volunteers?
Lots of ways. I actually have a sheet that I've handed out to, for kidsmen, just to find out their likes and dislikes. And, you know, because some people, a note of encouragement, that's all they need. Some people like a chocolate bar. some people want to sit down and have a conversation with you or a cup of coffee. So there's a sheet that I have, and you could just go on Pinterest and hand that out to kind of get an idea of your volunteers and what works. But so there's little ways you can do that. You could also do like a quick hot chocolate bar on a Sunday, depending on the area of ministry. So bring in some stuff for a coffee bar, or I just suggested, and I'm not sure how we're going to do this yet, but a waffle bar. I'm like, let's try that, right? That might be fun. So just different ways like that. Or you can go really big, right, and do a big event. But if you do a big event, make sure that you're inviting your volunteers in and you're celebrating them. Bring in a speaker to pour into them, someone who's going to pour into them spiritually. Celebrate them. Celebrate wins. Find out, you know, who has impacted who, and just, you know, who is putting time, or, you know, find those stories, you know, that parents sometimes share maybe with a leader, but then the volunteer doesn't actually hear them, and so they don't even know how they've impacted somebody's life. So take the time to do that work and find those stories and build that, and yeah, design. Give me a few ideas. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for volunteer training? We usually do like a group training.
Okay.
Whenever we get a new intake of volunteers, every fall, but like nobody comes.
Okay. Yes. when are you holding the training? When are you holding the training?
It's usually in September.
September. And is it for the whole church?
No, it's just for the kids' church.
Just for the kids. Okay. And we've done some September. We've done late August, depending on your congregation. But I think pouring into them ahead of the training, celebrating them, and then letting them know, like, hey, the mission and vision is so important, and start calling them to, you know, we want you to show up for this training because then we want you to be equipped so that you can live out the mission and the vision with these kids, right? You can disciple them. So it's really important for you to come to the training and help them to understand why it's important. Why should they go? My husband hates going to training. Like, absolutely hates going to meetings. I love it because I love connecting with people. So for someone like that too, like, he will go to that one event, like, make sure he's like, there's one training event, I'll go to it. I'm not going to a whole pile of meetings. So after that, then let them know, like, for those that hate going to them, come to this one event. This is the one important one, and after that, we're going to send you emails, or we're going to send videos, and to walk you through the rest of the training.
Okay.
And make it fun. Like, make the training really, really fun. Give out prizes if you need to. I love prizes. Have a competition. Yes.
We train for our training on the same night. Okay. So, because we'll have different family members serving different areas of the church. And so we'll do a time of encouragement with all of them together, and then we'll have them break off into ministry specifics.
Yeah.
So then it's one night for everyone.
Yes.
Family.
Yeah.
And then done.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that works best, right? Like, that's great. Yes.
Yeah. Would it help to know the difference between the terms mission and vision?
Yeah.
And I guess the second question, do you think each individual ministry within a church should have their own mission statement and vision?
I think the church should have one. So, like, one, like, mission statement or vision. But in each ministry, then you take that. And how are you going to live that out practically, right? So at Faith, we went through, Bill and I, when I was doing children's, like, preschool, and Bill was a children's pastor, so our mission was to transform lives for Christ, right? Like, impact our whole community, sort of strengthen families for the whole community. And so we would take that and kind of like, okay, well, how does that apply to the small group leader in the 3 to 5s room, right? What are we doing? Like, how does that roll? And so we went through each role and filtered it through that, and just to determine, is this helping our church as a mission, as a vision win, or, you know, and what we stand for in the community? Is that helping us win people for Jesus? Is that helping the families grow? And so we did that with every single role. So what's your church's mission or vision? Do you know?
We have 4 words: love, grow, serve, and go.
Those are great.
So it's like whatever individual ministries, we kind of see what little bucket it falls into.
Right, yeah.
And we want to make sure that it fits, you know, pretty squarely within each one.
And do you have those four words, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have them, like, written, like, on a wall somewhere, or, like, it's part of your language?
Oh, wall, website.
Yes, yeah. Okay, and then you want to take that, and then, so what ministry are you thinking specific, or?
Oh, I just... as a concept, let's just bring up the greeter ministry.
Yes.
Should a greeter ministry have its own mini mission statement?
Yeah, I think the greeters could easily take that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, well, even if they apply a verse, we're going to love people like this. We're going to, you know, serve. What was it? Love, serve?
Love, grow, serve.
Grow, serve. Yeah, so, and grow is important too, even with your greeters. Like, it's important for your greeters to understand you need to grow in Christ so that you can serve, right? So that your faith is into action. So I think run everything through that would be a good filter. And that keeps you as a church on the same page, which is important and hard to fight for. So, yeah. It's good. It's good. Anyone else?
How do you engage with families who are faithful, regular attenders,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't see them for the rest of the
week? Yeah. And
my biggest struggle is having time on Sunday to seek out people. So I'm trying to figure out, like, how else do I engage them if I don't get to them on Sunday morning?
Yeah. If you've got a list, like we make a list, like these are the people we need to connect with, Abe will send out a card like, hey, I haven't seen, like, I'd love to connect with you, then a phone call, Bill will show up at their house in a squirrel costume or something, right, and just like, or a T-Rex costume, just to connect with the family and the kids, but also to start to speak into the family and understand, hey, this is our mission at the church, and, you know, we live this out by, and I'd love to have you be part of that. Would you consider, right? And just starting that conversation. And it is, it's being intentional. It's a lot of work, but I think it's worth it. If they start to catch, like, the importance of serving God, that also will impact their kids, right? So it's important that we do that. But, yeah, it's hard. But, yeah, start with sending them a card and calling and just, hey, checking in. I didn't get to see you, and I'd love, you know, to connect. So, yeah. It's been great. You guys are good questions. I love talking about all this, right, and different ways that we can do this. Yeah?
So with your ministry that you do, the 412, do you provide training that churches can... use.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working through right now with this church. This is the first one, and we're just putting together what that looks like specifically for her as children's ministry. And so we're doing a training event. I like to use some of the Lead Small principles from the Lead Small book, if you've heard of that. It's just good because it kind of helped to reiterate, you know, why it's important to show up and to lead a few and to pour into them. And so she's gotten that book, and I think she's going to go through it with all of her volunteers. And that's the thing, they could either read on their own, but you could also give them little snippets every week. So when you meet for prayer, here's a line from the book, I hope it encourages you, and here's a scripture, and then let's go serve, right? So that's something I'm working on, and you can, yeah, contact me. There is a QR code, hopefully it works, and that should take you to contact on the website.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we can, you know, talk about that and what that would look like for your
church.
Our church
is in, like, a transition, so I've been just filling in with kids ministry.
Okay.
We had a lead coordinator, but she got a full-time job, so she doesn't have to do it anymore, so I filled in, and I'm about to have a baby, and I really can't. and then our church is looking to hire somebody, hopefully, so that'll be really good to have a higher position, but I want to have some...
Something to give them. Yeah, some volunteers that are equipped.
I don't really have much.
Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about what that would look like, or just some little things that you can start to do.
Yeah, even the books, I think, are good suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read Leading Not Normal Volunteers is fantastic for you to recruit people that, you know, and to pour into them and help them to think about, let's not be normal. Let's be different. Let's be excited. Let's be on fire for Christ, right? And then Lead Small gives some good practical tips. There's a Not Normal Volunteer book that you can hand to volunteers to read as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, it kind of pairs nicely. Yeah.
How often do you recommend, like, checking in with your volunteers to see how they're doing? Do they have any,
I kind of made a list that I would cycle through. And so I made a list for myself when I was leading preschool of 10 people that I would regularly check in with, like, once a week. And then I asked them to check in with two or three. And so then it would filter down so that everybody was checking in on somebody.
Right.
And, because I couldn't check in with everybody.
Yeah.
But, like, whether it was, like, 5 or 10, but I had a list. And, like, okay, I'm going to make sure I for sure check these people.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, they're going to check with these, or I'm going to check back. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't do everybody.
Yeah.
So it's important to also, you know, pour into. So I had people leading in the rooms, and then they're responsible for those in the rooms, right?
Yeah.
And so then that gives them some responsibility and that. So that helped. Yeah.
Maybe strange question.
Yeah.
You mentioned a few times meeting before a service to pray or whatever. However, in the ministry that we're in frontline and we have two services, it becomes very difficult because after the first service, going into the second service, there's like...
It's chaotic, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely chaotic. So,
is it your same people serving, first and second?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So I have teams for each.
So that might be where you might want to... Your first people, your first service is easier, right? Because nobody's usually there.
Yeah.
And it might be worthwhile to ask some of your first service people just to hang back at the end of this first service so that you can take a moment with your second service people and meet with them, have a spot that you can meet and pray, and then they can go and step in and serve, right? Yeah, just to help with that.
I appreciate you bringing up about the prayer because I think sometimes in smaller church it's just hit the ground running.
Yes.
Right? Like go, go, go. And it's recently I was talking with another member from the church and we really want to bring it back to that prayer, right? Like put prayer request boxes pretty much everywhere. Vacation Bible school when we did it at March break, we didn't. Going forward, like we want to have a spot that the parents and the kids can write out their requests, right?
Yeah.
You know, just even reach them. So I appreciate you making that part of it because
And that came out of like doing ministry without it. That does not work. Right. So I was like, okay, this is one thing that is really, really important, you know, and that I expect all my volunteers, if you think you're just holding a baby, let me tell you, you're not. You're coming for prayer and we are praying over these little ones. And so that is probably one of the hardest ministries to change, but yeah, it takes a long time.
Because then in itself encourages them on their walk.
Yes, absolutely.
Do a daily prayer or if they're facing difficult situations.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we just think.
Well, we forget, right? And honestly, like Ephesians 4, so 4:12 is based on Ephesians 4:12. But the whole chapter of Ephesians, right, is amazing to live a life worthy of your calling. And we need to understand that we need to equip them and pour into them. And they need to understand they need to be filled so that they can pour out, right? And so it's really being in the Word and putting it in action. It goes hand in hand. And so I think we just really need to pray and put that into action. So, yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yes,
just an idea, something I'm trying this week because we're doing a team Sunday this coming Sunday. So you're recruiting. trying to fill the gaps.
Yeah.
So I put out a question to all of our teams who are currently serving, and I said, can you just give me 2 seconds to answer this?
Yeah.
Why do you love to serve?
Okay.
So my social media posts this week are just quotes from our own people and why they love serving.
Yeah.
So, again, just trying to engage people who aren't involved yet. It's
really
I feel like we're missing out on something.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely,
so,
right? And that's why I tried to get the chocolates, but it was not as effective, right? that's great.
So.
I love it. It's good. Yes.
Yeah, so I think this one is really like a specific case. With your 30 years of experience, I don't know if you call it for it, but essentially we're using the Gospel Project for our ministry, and we're getting it through ministry, completely online platform.
Yes.
So what ends up happening with our volunteers is it's sort of split up in terms of like age groups because the thought of using a digital platform can be daunting.
Yes, absolutely.
So what happens is now majority of the, I guess, you know, more tech savvy, a little bit younger crowd goes into like a specific age group and then the rest of the older group goes into your preschool, your nursery.
Yes.
But then we have less, we need more volunteers for the older group than we do for the younger group. So I don't know if you've gone through that, like how do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, so when you have something that's online, right, and it's easy to send it out, like I think you just have to break that barrier and you're going to have to print out copies.
Right.
I know, as much as you might not want to, but sometimes that's the only way you're going to get that person to serve it because that is such a detriment, like they're just like, I can't work past that. So you can print copies.
Okay.
It's just the easiest
like
practical way to do.
Yeah.
And then some people love a paper copy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But And that's okay. That's all right. It's still the same lesson. It just happens to be in paper, but that might help them and understand that, like, don't let that stop you from serving. We can work through this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe if there's, like, a training for, like, a sort of, like, a digital training. For
both. Yeah. And you could do that, too. But, like, you could do both, actually, right? Mm-hmm. Ask them if you'd like. We'd like to help you walk through this. But don't let that stop you. We can also print it off if we need to.
Right.
I mean, last resort, maybe, depending on your situation. But, you know, just so that, I mean, some, there could be some. We have this guy who has done grade threes forever, and he is amazing. Like, he has been serving in that area, I don't know, I would say 40 years. Like, he's just been there forever. But he loves it, and he pours in them. But he's definitely not a digital person, like, techie person. So we want him in that role. So let's make that happen. Mm-hmm. So that's what needs to happen, but yeah.
Just on that same page, I've been dealing with the OPP officer who deals with the police check forms.
Okay.
It's online now, right?
Yes.
It's been a big struggle the last few
years.
Absolutely. Some of our volunteers can get their updates done.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me the suggestion, she's like, some of our organizations actually will just post
yeah.
a police check like night. Mm-hmm. So come, if technology
yeah.
smart,
yeah.
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come and
yeah.
we'll help you
yeah.
get your form
yeah.
submitted. For you. So
yeah.
you don't have to do the technology work. We can do that. You just come.
Yes. That was fantastic. Yeah.
So.
Bill does the same. Yeah. Just come.
Yeah.
I'll walk you through it, right? And so it's much better. Yeah.
So we've had the same challenges.
Yes.
So a couple of, like, for the nursery heads, we're like, let's just put it together with this one lady. Let's just get ours in because they keep rejecting our church letter, our volunteer letter.
Oh, no.
Oh. So
oh,
mine goes in, comes back fine, the same letter for the other leader.
Yeah.
Got rejected. And she told me some last Sunday morning, and I went to my husband and said, oh, I am so done with this. We can't even start police checks because
yeah.
our leaders can't get checked.
Yeah.
And I said, and this is now spiritual.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we can't get past the police checks, we
yeah.
can start for the ministry.
Absolutely.
And my husband doesn't normally do this for the moment, and he was like, you're right. And he announced it, and he was like, you need to actually pray right now.
Yeah.
For our police checks
yeah.
to start the process.
We do, right?
So
because this is a spiritual battle. Yes.
So encouragement, so I dealt directly with it because we have the same problem.
Yeah. yeah.
I think some of their things have changed.
I think so.
So what our letter used to be accepted as was no longer. All of a sudden I found out, oh,
I know.
It's getting rejected.
Yes.
I called, because we're really on the campus, I called this campus and I'm like, what did you change? I need help.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me what they had approved through very quickly.
Yeah.
And I sent it off to OPP. Please let me know what. So I got
yeah.
like
yeah.
dealt directly with the person who deals with them, and she now put our letter. She's like, I'm going to put in the system that this is an approved letter.
Right.
So anybody
okay,
can come in through
yeah.
here, they'll know that this
okay.
is all approved by us. So it's just getting the right language in it that they will accept it.
Well, we took
yeah.
spent 2 hours with them.
Oh my goodness.
They approved it. It worked for me and not for Chris.
Oh my
goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where it's getting, like, it's
wow.
getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
So that's where, like, we come back to prayer.
Yeah.
This is really important, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
we
have to
and
that
that's
the prayer piece, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, anything else for anybody? That's great. I hope you guys are encouraged. I hope that you've been able to think of some names of people that you can talk to. I had on the backside to make a list of names you can invite into serving with you. Is there someone that comes to mind and you're like, oh, I should talk to them, right? I need to have a conversation. Make that list of names. And yeah, and reach out to me. You can follow us on 412 Canada on Instagram. We got kicked off of Twitter. I don't know what we posted, but something was wrong.
Serious?
Yeah, so.
I thought that didn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and it was such a rigmarole, I'm like, forget it. So Instagram and Facebook were there. I did have a Facebook group for a little bit. We did a trial run for just a group for people, like leaders, to connect and to encourage. And so we'll probably run another one later in the spring or in the summer just to get a group of you together, and we'll send out encouraging posts and have like one or two Zooms so that we can talk. Through, you know, like some issues or some different things that are happening, and then, be encouraged. But, yeah. So, anyways, I think that's it. Like, I think, did we do okay for time?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, I'm sure, are hungry.
There you go, lunchtime.
That's good.
All right, awesome.
Okay, why don't I just pray for you guys as we go off, right?
Sounds good.
All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each one of these leaders in this room and the passion that they have for their church and for their people. And Lord, we know that you have called and you have equipped people. We just pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment as to who to ask, who to recruit, and how do we share the mission and the vision of our church and understanding the difference, Lord, and how the volunteers can live that out. And let's be excited about that, Lord. Pour into us a joy for serving you and an excitement. Give us wisdom and discernment as we equip those around us. Lord, I pray that you bless each one of these leaders and the rest of their time here at the conference. May they leave refreshed and on fire for you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.